Good afternoon. My name is Rachel, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Attracting Funding for Adaptation conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. If you should need assistance during the call, please press star, then zero, and an operator will come back online to assist you. Ms. Dinsmeister, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone on the line for joining us today. My name is Emma Dinsmeister, and I'm here with EPA's State and Local Climate and Energy Program. Today's webcast will be focusing on attracting funding for adaptation. This is the last of our three-part series on climate change adaptation for state and local governments. For today's webcast, you can participate by using your GoToMeeting control panel. You can open and close the panel by clicking on the orange arrow that points to the right. In order to hear the audio, you do have to dial in today at the number listed. Please note that all of our participants are on mute, so if you have questions for our panelists as they give their presentations, please type those into the question pane on the control panel and hit submit to send them. Be sure to indicate which panelists you'd like to have respond to the question, and we will direct them to the appropriate people during the question and answer session at the end of today's webcast. If you experience any technical difficulties with GoToMeeting, Lauren Peterson from ICF International is on the line assisting us, and you can email her at lauren.peterson@icf.i.com, and she can assist you. As I mentioned, today's webcast is the conclusion of a series that we've been doing. In our previous calls, we covered achieving buy-in for adaptation and overcoming the uncertainty barrier to adaptation. Audio recordings and copies of the presentations from all of these webcasts will be available online at the link listed below, which takes you to our State and Local Climate and Energy Program website. We have a full agenda today, and before I go through the agenda, I just want to mention really quickly that unfortunately our speaker, Paul English from the California Department of Public Health, will not be able to join us. Folks should have received a copy of his presentation in the materials that were circulated earlier, so you will be able to see his content, and hopefully we can get him on the line for a future presentation. But for the agenda today, I'll kick things off by providing a little bit of background information on the topic and some links to resources you may want to check out after the presentation. We'll then hear from Lynn Broaddus of the Johnson Foundation about developing funding strategies for adaptation, focusing specifically on some examples from the water sector. Scott Burgess from the Center for Climate and Energy Solutions will provide a quick demo of a new database tool that they're developing to help track what's going on with adaptation actions at the city level. We'll then hear from Gino Marinucci from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about some of the resources that they're developing to help states and cities develop climate adaptation plans that focus on health. And then we'll hear a case study from Alessandra Girolaman and Kelly Klima of the Natural Hazard Mitigation Association about how adaptation can be integrated into hazard mitigation planning efforts. At the conclusion of our presentations, we'll have a facilitated panel discussion with all of our speakers, and then we'll take questions from the audience. And as we close today's webcast and you exit GoToMeeting, please note that you'll have the opportunity to respond to a brief questionnaire to provide us with feedback on ways in which EPA can help your community or state as you pursue adaptation. So please take the opportunity to provide us with some feedback that helps us plan how we can further support your efforts. So just as some brief background, today we are in the series we have been focusing specifically on climate change adaptation, which is distinct from mitigation. Mitigation efforts focus on reducing emissions of greenhouse gases in order to slow the rate of climate change, whereas adaptation efforts look at how society can respond to the impacts of climate change, whether that's moderating the harm of negative impacts or capitalizing on opportunities presented by potentially positive impacts. You're probably also familiar with the term hazard mitigation, which is what Alessandra and Kelly will be talking about later on. That falls into this adaptation bucket, and they will provide some more distinction on that terminology during their presentation. So during our webcast series, we've been kind of running through different components of an adaptation planning framework, and as you can see during our first call, we provided some information on strategies for communication to build support. In our April call, we focused on planning how information on climate change can be used even in the face of uncertainty about impacts. And we're concluding our series by focusing on how we can fund this effort. As folks know, there's not a lot of explicit funds out there for adaptation, and budgets are tight. So we're really presenting how you can think about working across sectors to leverage existing funds and get the most impact for the resources you have available. So I'm just going to close out by mentioning that there's an appendix of slides at the end of my presentation that includes links to a lot of resources that you'll want to check out in your own time after the call today. Just some background on the state and local climate energy program and what we have to offer. Some links to explicit sites that cover funding opportunities that may be useful for you in your adaptation efforts. So please check these out. They will often post announcements of requests for proposals for grants that come out that may be relevant to your work, both at the federal level and more local sources. And then just some information on resources from EPA and other organizations that provide planning frameworks for adaptation, data on climate science, case studies, and things that you may find useful. So here's my contact information, and I encourage folks to reach out if they have any questions about the resources or webcasts that we've provided. And I'm also interested in hearing from you about what your state or community is doing in terms of adaptation and how EPA can support those efforts. So please feel free to reach out to me. And with that, we'll be diving into the meat of our webcast today. We're going to start with a quick poll question to get a sense of who we have on the line. So Lauren, if you wouldn't mind pulling up the first poll question.
Sure, and it's up on the screen. So what is your level of experience or familiarity with climate change adaptation? And please select one from the list.
All right, hopefully that's enough time for folks to select their answers. If you wouldn't mind, Lauren, just giving us the results.
Sure. So the results are that 5% are not sure how adaptation is different from mitigation, 6% considered it but have not taken action since it's controversial, 32% considered it but have not taken action due to lack of resources, 36% have started to take action and identified and initiated a project, and 22% have completed at least one project.
Thank you. So it looks like folks on the line have some experience with adaptation and implementation in their communities. Hopefully the presentations today will help clarify some of the distinctions between mitigation and adaptation and help folks deal with the question of resources and come up with some strategies about how they may maximize the opportunities that they do have available.